Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
If you're more on the aggressive side and think that's where Brandon Bean will go, Brian Thomas Jr. seems to make the most sense to me.
Look at the value of the franchise. What are they saying now? The Bills could be up to like $4 billion. The money is silly money. They can get somebody to give them close to $1 billion for 25% of the team, maintain control, take care of all their cost overruns. It really doesn't surprise me that they're looking to do this.
Mike Danger.
Power washer. Is there anything more satisfying? When you do a good power washing and it gets everything up and out, oh, fantastic. Fantastic. I've got momentum now. Momentum is back. Momentum engaged.
Gene Battaglia.
I'm believing the Bills will go somewhere other than wide receiver in round one.
What has you believing that?
Just the positional value. And you mentioned the cost control and all those things we don't think about.
Right.
Hey, Lindy.
The Sabres made the announcement that Lindy Ruff will, in fact, be the head coach moving forward.
Hey, Sabres fans, Lindy Ruff here. I'm honored to be the next head coach of the Buffalo Sabres.
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Hey, good afternoon and welcome on in to the Sports Bar. It's Danger and Battaglia, Rochester's only local sports talk show. Glad you're with us and listening along at 95.7 FM, AM 950, or the free-to-download Odyssey app. We sound our best when you ask your smart speaker to play 95.7 The Fan. We've also got our video stream up for you. You can watch the Sports Bar on our YouTube channel at The Fan Rochester, on twitch.tv/TheFanRochester. I'm Danger. That is Battaglia. We are just basking in what has been an amazing 24 hours of competition and sports, and we've got a great show lined up for you this afternoon, leading into what promises to be another great night of action.
Yeah, if you are one that says, oh, my favorite team isn't in the postseason, I mean, you're missing out. I don't like the Leafs. I don't like the Bruins. In fact, kind of despise both teams, but I enjoyed that last night.
Oh. If you're a fan of the sport, the Austin Matthews goal,
to pass
breakaway
them,
goal,
yeah,
basically a lob pass that he gloves, drops in front of him without missing a stride, in alone, buries it. That's Stanley Cup playoff hockey. It's just fantastic. The NBA delivered last night. Oh my God. The Knicks. Gino, the Knicks. Oh my God.
They shouldn't have won that game.
Oh my God. The Knicks are a story. That was one of the wildest sequences to end a game that you will ever see.
You're down by five. 2 3-pointers in 14 seconds. Me, me, me. Should have been a foul. Me, me, me. Okay, does that explain allowing open shots? Does that explain not getting the board? Does that explain not Maxey not taking the shot at the end?
Oh, There's so much to dive into just from that final sequence in that Knicks win over the Sixers in game two. And then you had, you know, another comeback with Jokic and the Nuggets dispatching of the Lakers. You had a massive three-goal comeback in the Stanley Cup playoffs by the Hurricanes.
Yep.
Coming back on the Islanders, who decided, oh, let's just take our foot off the gas. I mean, just wall-to-wall, amazing action last night. And again, like, now my hopes are high. I'm hoping that we have another great night of action. We have four Stanley Cup playoff matchups tonight. Again, I love what ESPN has done with their coverage. I love that it's staggered. I love that it's nonstop. It's constant. You can flip back and forth during intermission. Just fantastic action. And all of that before we talk about the Sabres announcing today Lindy Ruff as their next head coach.
Yeah, and look, can we just have one day, Danger? One day.
Well, one day to be excited about it.
Set up the show. Tell everybody what's going on. We have like a big name coming on the show.
We got a lot going on.
Yeah, like, well, Matt Parrino's a big name. I don't want to take that away from Matt Parrino. I asked Matt. He was on with us Thursday last week. Got bummed from Tuesday because, well, the Sabres decided to fire their coach. And less than 1 week later, they have a new head coach.
Yep.
Wow, what a vast search. But Matt Parrino, we'll be talking about it. And we haven't talked to Matt Danger. This is how much news we've had here in the last week. Since the disclosure, now Matt is more what's happening on the field, what's happening with the roster, that, but you can't tell me that isn't a shockwave when Terry Pegula says, you know what, let's bring in another investor here to the team. Whoa, we'll get Matt's thoughts on this, and one last tune-up from Matt Parrino before we head to the draft. He's coming up at 325.
Now, the big name that you're referencing that's joining us for the first time in the sports bar, we're talking power agent here, Lee Steinberg. Is going to stop by about an hour from now.
This is fascinating, and I'm honored to have Lee Steinberg come on because, well, this originally came to us because he had thoughts about the Jontay Porter lifetime ban, and we'll touch on that because if you're an agent and you know your client's up to no good, what is the responsibility of the agent? Because after all, I can tell you who's not going to make money. That's going to be the agent for Jontay Porter right. Moving forward. But to have Lee Steinberg on with us this week, when you have a client that says, yeah, you know what? I don't want to go to that team. Can you make it so I don't have to go to that team?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Lee has probably lived every scenario. The guy was in Jerry Maguire, for crying out loud.
Well, it'll be an honor and a treat to talk to Lee. He's coming up here right around 4:05, and then we'll follow that up with our weekly check-in with Rochester Americans head coach Seth Appert and the Amerks. Get ready for their round two playoff series against the Syracuse Crunch, getting it away at Blue Cross Arena Friday. Tickets are on sale now, by the way.
Did you see the pre-sale code? Beat SYR.
Love it.
Yeah. Yeah, beat them. It'd be great for the economy if this went five. No. No. One, two, three, out.
Five-game series going to last us 15 days. Let's get it over with, quick. Let's rest it up.
Sorry, Mr. Pegula. We don't need that third home gate here from this series. Let's just kind of move on and get to the North Division final. While we're all kind of waiting for Cleveland, and they've got to kind of wait for the winner of Belleville. Toronto, we know it's Syracuse. We'll get the thoughts of head coach Seth Appert, who, by the way, Danger, technically, they finished tied for first. It was a tiebreaker that they lost on in regulation win. So,
yeah. Looking forward to that conversation as we do every week with Rochester Americans head coach Seth Appert. And I'm sure he might have some thoughts as well on Lindy Ruff as the new head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. You can join us at 866-4326-585, 866-4FAN. We're also on Elon's Twitter. That's X. At the Fan Rochester, feel free to engage with us there. Okay, Gino, you want a day? Let's hear it.
Here's the day, and I'm going to try. This was some of the feedback I got last night. And this is, you don't believe me, and this is Worm.
Worm.
Worm weighing in. So my college buddies, I don't know if I've ever talked to about my college buddies. Like you have Andy and Dennis and Big Daddy and Worm.
Big Daddy and Worm. Let's focus on those two.
Yeah. Well,
that's who I want to hear from.
Well, Worm. Like, Worm is actually way more accomplished than you and I, Danger.
Of course he is.
Yeah, like, he just kind of, like, you know, drifts in and out, loves hockey. Like, a New York City guy, loves hockey, working in D.C. And he weighs in with this. I get this message. Gene, is this a joke? Just give up now. How awful. Did they watch the Devils the last 2 years? I'm sorry, man.
Wow. Worm, not a fan of the hire. Really? Wonder why.
That's part of this. And I feel like we should, like what happened in New Jersey that you lead a team to the second round and then it just goes so bad. So bad. And I'm listening to the questions in the press conference. Like one came up, hey, what did you learn going through last year? Kind of made it sound like, hey, there's a lot of bad puck luck or whatever. But I don't know. Like, what was it? Danger, this is a day. I might be blinded by fandom. I might be blinded by nostalgia. I might be blinded liking this man from afar. Lindy Ruff. Who doesn't like Lindy Ruff? He's a man's man. And this is what this team needs. Mm-hmm. Well, I have a source pulled me aside and said, you know, they started talking a month ago. Lindy Ruff and the Buffalo Sabres.
Sure.
Which, that sounds like breaking news. Don't hit the sounder. Because think that through. Lindy Ruff was unemployed. Kevin Adams, he has a relationship with. So you're probably talking in the context of what if? What if? Because where I like the hire, I can't be a hypocrite, meaning this. Any team that hits the fast effing forward button on a coaching search, like the way the Buffalo Sabres just did. When you have Kevin Adams saying, oh, I talked to a dozen, what, just phone conversations, answering a text? No, BS, BS, BS. You have all the time in the world to go have a real coaching search and talk to people. And why would you want to do that, even though if you know you have your guy? You know why? Because you want to learn things about your organization. You want to learn things about yourself. It's the one and only opportunity where you can go outside the organization, tamper-free, and learn about what people from the outside, from what respected hockey people are saying about the Sabres and how to fix it. And if you come up with three ideas, two ideas, I don't care if you came up with one thing you can implement to help you win games because you actually took the time to go through the process. Kevin Adams is a really good liar because he didn't go through the process.
Well, his process might not be what you're describing. His process may have been a phone call or a passing conversation, but to go in depth. Or maybe it was just a matter of, let's use Craig Berube as the example. Hey, you've got a Stanley Cup championship on your resume. And you're a guy that's been known to hold his players accountable. Accountable is a big word. Accountability, big word today. Big word. We'll get into that in a second. Mm-hmm. What would it take to get you to consider the Buffalo Sabres? And then the number is extravagant. Okay, next case. Go on to the next guy. The next guy. And the next guy. Because I don't care what anybody says. The Sabres are still viewed in the NHL as purgatory. It's where good players have gone to die. It's where good coaches have gone to die. They have failed. They haven't returned. If I'm frustrated by anything, it's that they aren't trying something new. And that was what Paul Hamilton said to us last week when he joined us about this coaching search. And we all kind of assumed after last Tuesday's press conference that it was going to be Lindy Ruff. Paul Hamilton said, not so fast.
I'm not a real fan of this thing in Buffalo that we keep doing, that all we want to do is bring back old Sabres.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember how many players or coaches at Buffalo Sabres have won a Stanley Cup, but yet we want to keep bringing them all back. You know, we want to bring Miller back, you know, when he was near the end of his career. Want to bring everybody back. What about Vanek? Let's bring him back. And, you know, the whole thing. And it's just, maybe we could also try something new.
Well, they didn't. They brought back a retread head coach. Now, I know a lot of people are going to be excited about that because you recognize the name and we all are nostalgic for better days, right? We're all nostalgic for that. Hell, the Sabres know it. What did they do minutes after they hired him? The nostalgia video showing all the clips of Lindy behind the bench with the Sabres winning things. They know. My take is this. You're not buying season tickets to your favorite team because of the head coach. I don't go to a game, any sport, where I'm pumped to see the coach. Like, boy, I sure hope before I die, I get to go to an Oilers game to see Connor McDavid's coach work his magic. Does anybody know who the head coach of the Edmonton Oilers is? Nobody.
I should. I don't.
Nobody. Yeah. Nobody knows. Why? Because you have a really, really good player. And I'm not saying that coaching doesn't matter, but the Sabres haven't been good enough because they don't have enough talent. And if you watch playoff hockey and you realize just how far off the Sabres actually are, until the organization decides to add some actual men with actual NHL ability, I'm not going to hold my breath that Lindy Ruff can get more from a locker room of serial underachievers. Back to accountability. This is the big word that everybody said. Locker cleanout day, accountability. Boy, it sure seems like Don Granato didn't hold these players accountable. Listen to what Lindy Ruff had to say today about accountability.
Accountability, to me, starts with the player himself. That first thing he does is hold himself accountable. That did I do enough to get this team to where it needed to go? Before you can be accountable or look for accountability from somebody else, you got to be accountable to yourself, whether it's your training in the summertime, whether it's your preparation for camp, whether we get to game one, are you ready to play? You hold yourself accountable. The next level of accountability when you become a good team is the players themselves will hold each other accountable. They will say that, you know, that play wasn't good enough. You need to get, you need to be there. You need to be on the wall. You need to block that shot for me. That's a game changer. The last part of it is the coach who just can't yell and scream at players anymore. You can't just say, you've got to do this, you got to do that, you don't play this. Will be the way we grow is believing in the way we play. If we don't play like that, my biggest tool is to take ice time away. My greatest tool is you're playing really well, you get more ice time, you're going to be that guy I'm going to count on, you're going to take that key face off, you're going to be on there in the last minute, you're going to be on for every empty net. And I believe that your best player should be on the ice at all key moments, that your top players should be the guys that lead the way, that first they're accountable to themselves first. You know, accountability is a big word, and accountability starts with each player taking a look in the mirror.
Now, who doesn't love everything that he just said? Love everything he just said, right?
Yeah. So what's the problem?
Well, the problem is it starts with the players, and the players are the ones saying, well, there's just no accountability. It starts with you. Look in the mirror.
Well, that's why, if you noticed, the message is sort of the fans, but it's sort of the guys like, yeah, it starts in the summer and it starts with your workouts. And he's indirectly telling the guys on the roster, get to work.
Yeah, I hope so.
And those are the best. Danger, you play sports. I played sports. Those are the best environments when you're policing yourself.
That's right. No, everything he said there is spot on. It's absolutely right. But it starts with the player. It doesn't start with the coach. It didn't start with Don Granato. Don Granato may not have been the right coach at the right time for this team, but it starts with the players looking in the mirror and saying, damn it, I'm a professional. This has gone on long enough. We need to be better, and it starts with me. And so until this team gets guys, and maybe they're in there and we just haven't seen it yet. Maybe Lindy Ruff is the guy that can extract some of that indirectly out of them or challenge them in a way that forces them to look in the mirror. But it's a lack of talent, man.
No. I'm going to cite you one instance where I can prove to you that that's not necessarily true. The Columbus game, 9 goals given up that night. How many, Danger?
Nine times.
Embarrassing. And there is one guy, the team captain, Kyle Pozo, who comes out and not anybody else, hiding in the locker room. Because what you see on TV, that's not the real locker room, folks. That's just the staging area. The real dressing room, you're not allowed into. So you could say it starts with the players, but if you're a coach, you are mandating what Tortorella did after a similar loss. Everybody, get out there. Mm. Be in front. That's why, like, little things like that Not everything's going to be perfect during a course of a season, but when it's not, own it. That's the definition of being accountable. Own it.
Back to Worm's comments. Did you watch the Devils the last two seasons? I think a lot of what led to Lindy Ruff being dismissed by the Devils was a lack of attention to detail. I mean, you saw it multiple times, just sloppy play, bad penalties, bench penalties, too many men on the ice, not enough men on the ice, just kind of a disorganization. And again, like, this isn't me trying to say that this is going to fail. I don't know. I hope it doesn't fail. I hope they succeed. I hope they win. I hope he understands how to get through to a team that still needs to mature and that has been underachieving now for far too long. But you could say that Lindy Ruff's best days as a coach are behind him. I mean, if he does get this team to the postseason, it's fantastic. What else can he do? How far can they go? Watch the Stanley Cup playoffs and tell me how this group of Buffalo Sabres in the next 12 to 24 months will stack up against the rest of the league, the rest of these playoff teams that have guys that are massive, fast, and more skilled than anything the Sabres have on their roster. That's my fear for the Sabres.
Yeah, my fear is this, is that, and you've heard me say this, but I understand that sometimes the audience isn't with us, so forgive me, but we have Seth Thapper coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, and there's openings in Detroit, there's openings in Ottawa, and I don't know if it happens this year, but are we going to get to a point where, like, oh my God, we had the head coach, he was ours, and we let him go? You didn't afford him the opportunity here to really stay. Maybe it happened, but I don't get the impression it happened.
Well, certainly not wishing for that. And, you know, selfishly, I'd like Seth Appert to be the head coach of the Rochester Americans for a very long time.
And we're not, when we have him on today, we'll ask for his thoughts on Lindy and if he's talked on Lindy, but he's got a playoff series going up, so we're not going to belabor the point. So we're going to touch on it with Seth, certainly, but he did address it last week. And the thing that kind of stood out to me, Seth said this, and I believe him, he'd be happy coaching high school hockey in Minnesota just as he's coaching the Rochester Americans. And if the opportunity ever happened, great. And if it never happened for him, I don't get the sense that Seth would be like,
it'll be all right,
you'll be fine.
Yeah. That'll be later on this afternoon, 4:25. We'll be joined by the head coach of the Rochester Americans, Super Agent Lee Steinberg, stops by the sports bar, 4:05. And up next, we talk to Matt Perino. Turn the page and talk some Buffalo Bills. We're a couple of days away from the draft. How far could we see the Bills move up the draft board in round one? Do we see them move up at all? Let's talk a little bit more about that chunk of the team that is now for sale and what that could mean for the future of the organization. We'll do all of that with Matt Perino next in the Sports Bar. And don't forget, day one and day two of the NFL draft means we will be live Thursday, we will be for day one of the draft at Three Heads Brewing on Atlantic Avenue in the neighborhood of the Arts. Rochester's largest patio. It's open. I see sunny skies for Thursday as well. You can enjoy the Melon Head, Watermelon Sour, and all the other fine beers they have at Three Heads. Grab some delicious wood fire pizza from Freddy's as well. We're there from 3 until 6 for day one of the NFL draft. That's Three Heads Brewing on Atlantic Avenue. Day two of the NFL draft, Friday, we will be live from 3 until 6, your pre-draft party at the Tap Room at Bill Gray's Chi Lai Avenue location. Stop by there as well, and we will talk plenty of Bills draft days one and two, both Thursday and Friday, the sports bar live. Looking forward to seeing y'all out here on the Fan Rochester. Matt Perino next to talk some Buffalo Bills.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
Buffalo Sabres formally introducing their new head coach, Lindy Ruff. Here's general manager Kevin Adams.
It just, for me, came back to this is the right coach for this team to win, and to win now. And that's our goal, you know, to win hockey games. That's what matters. And the us knowing each other and the trust and going back to those years, that's great. But it's not really about that. It's about winning.
We will talk to Amherst head coach Seth Appert next hour as the Amherst begin their playoff push. Well, the NFL draft just 2 days away. Matt Parrino joining us next from the Syracuse Post-Standard. Rochester Red Wings tonight beginning a series in St. Paul, Minnesota. First time the Wings playing at that venue. All the action in the majors on the lights tonight. Three games in the NBA playoffs. Phoenix and Minnesota, Indiana, Milwaukee, Dallas, and the LA Clippers. Gene Battaglia, the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
They've raised the bar on Rochester Sports Talk. You're in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
Just a couple of days away from finding out which prospects will become Buffalo Bills this weekend with the NFL Draft. We'll dive into that and more with Matt Parrino covering the team for the Syracuse Post-Standard. You can also hear Matt with Ryan Talbot on the Shout podcast. Matt, before we talk draft and last-minute ideas and scenarios that could play out this weekend, we haven't had a chance to talk to you since the news came out that Terry Pegula is offering up to a quarter or a good chunk of the Buffalo Bills for sale. What do you think that's all about?
Yeah, anybody's guess. I mean, he probably needs some money for the stuff that he's got to do at the arena. I think I've seen that kind of idea floated around. And, you know, I think, like, my overarching observation on Terry Pegula's ownership style is that, like, you know, he needs people in the room, right? Like, I mean, he hasn't talked to the media since 2019 on the Bills side of things. I saw his opening remarks today. I couldn't watch the entire press conference. Did he take questions?
No.
He did not.
So I
think part of it is an influx in money. They'd still be making all the decisions. I thought Tim Graham's coverage of that and the podcast that accompanied it was really, really solid. But it seems like the wave of the future. If somebody's willing to give you, over a little over $1 billion to have a minority stake in the franchise, I get it. It's an influx of cash. And plus, what did he pay for the team? Right about that, right? $1.4 billion?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, though, because, and I guess the NFL takes care of this, like, how many – like minority of the owners are there in the league that we don't hear from? Like, that's the question that I would like answered. We'll never get answered, Matt, is like, whoever this may be, if this indeed does end up happening, will they have any sort of voice as far as, you know, what direction the Bills will be going as an organization?
It's hard to say. I feel like the direction that the team goes in for now is pretty much led by Brandon and Sean. I feel like Terry takes his cues from them, and obviously on the business side now, Peter Gwelly entrenched in that COO role, and we'll learn more about him and obviously what his vision is for the organization. But I think from a football perspective, unless something drastically changes with the on-field product, like, I feel like it's kind of like, you know, let those two guys run the show. And from a directional standpoint, at least in the near future, like next 5 years, your quarterback set, you have one of the best players in the NFL, and I think it's just about building around that dude.
Matt, I'm pretty sure I've convinced Gino that the Bills are going to take a defensive player late in round one. I think we all would like to see them take a wide receiver, but then my question is, and I think the reason why I've convinced Gino of this is, and this you may or may not know the answer to, where do the Bills, like, how do they value the positions? Positional value to me is something we don't talk a lot about, and certain teams value certain positions differently. And the idea that you can have cost control with that first-round rookie contract, I think matters to NFL GMs when they're making that selection. So with that in mind, do they put more of a value, more of a premium on defensive line or edge rusher than they do on wide receiver? Do you think that enters the line of thinking at all when they make the decision come Thursday night?
I think it's part of the conversation for sure. And I think that there, you can make an argument that I think that they view those two positions pretty highly. Like I'd almost say that if you're going over the hierarchy of positional value, I think that after quarterback, I think wide receiver and edge rusher might be in the mix. Offensive line too, but I just feel like they've just spent more resources, bigger high-end resources at wide receiver and defensive line over the years, specifically edge rusher. You know, even some of the secondary kind of deals that they've done. I mean, Floyd was making about $10 million last year. You go back a couple years before that with Jerry Hughes and Mario Addison. And they throw some money, and it's never like high end money except for Von Miller, but it's always been pretty consistently high. And then at wide receiver, same thing. They paid Cole Beasley quite a bit, Emmanuel Sanders, John Brown. I mean, they've spent money at those two positions more so than anywhere else, and it's why like even safety in the second round feels a little bit too rich, because I think just positional value wise, that's a position that in the league isn't as important. And also, like, within their system, they've been able to develop guys to play those roles. I mean, go back 2 years ago, and it wasn't always great, but DeMar Hamlin played almost 1,000 snaps for them as a second-year six-round draft pick. And so that I think that positional value is definitely an important part of the conversation. I don't think it's necessarily the be-all, end-all, but when you're talking about wide receiver and defensive end, I don't necessarily think that in their eyes, and this is just my perception, one is necessarily higher than the other. I think you can make an argument that right now with Von Miller, Greg Rousseau, and AJ Epenesa, and even Kingsley Jonathan to a degree, that's a nice foursome of players, or at least one that you could roll out and you feel comfortable with. They could still add in free agency, as opposed to Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, and Justin Shorter. I mean, it's a tough group right now that if you were to roll the ball out, I know they have Mac Hollins as well. I guess you could throw him into the mix. It's a group that I think needs a little bit more talent.
I think actually probably both do. And I'm going to ask the question this way, Matt. Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard, the Shout podcast. Yesterday we had Chris Trapasso on. He does great work, and asked him about the draft in terms of edge rushers beyond the first round. And he's like, look, after the top four, good luck finding somebody who can contribute right now. If you're just taking this from the depth of this draft, Matt, could something be said for, well, you can get your Chop Robinson fill in the blank here at 28 or somewhere close to, can the Buffalo Bills, and I think this is the question, afford to wait until the second round, whether that's pick 60 or moving up, to get that wide receiver?
I think they can wait. I think that the depth at wide receiver is so much so that if they're not comfortable moving up, because I think at this point, I'm to the point where, you know, with Schefter last week on a podcast saying that he thinks A.D. Mitchell is going to go much higher than people think, I'm starting to get to thinking that maybe the top five receivers are off the board by like 22. So if that's the case, and you're Brandon Bean and you're not willing to make a jump past 20, then maybe you're going to have to start thinking about the idea that you might have to maybe even trade up for one of those players, like, you know, an edge rusher, whether it be like a Latu, if he kind of falls. I don't think that's going to be the case. It seems like he's picking up steam, but maybe Jared Verse out of Florida State could be a guy that they move up a couple spots for. Cooper DeJean, just because of the corner safety versatility, I really like that idea. I would love that idea at 28 for them if he was there. He just seems like a Sean McDermott kind of guy. And then in the second round, there's a bunch of different flavors. And I think you could choose with like how aggressive you want to be to go get the guy you specifically like. But there's a lot of different options. And I think that just because of where they're picking,
if you're not trading up, you know, I almost think you should trade back, because the value that you're going to get and potentially adding another top 90 player, I think is so good. And maybe you can double dip at receiver in the top 90. Now you're talking about adding two wide receivers in a very deep draft class. I almost feel like that increases your chances. Wait till you see my mock draft that drops tomorrow. Let's just say that.
That's called a tease. Yeah. Professionals, stay down. Matt Parrino joining us in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. How about this? You're competing against the Kansas City Chiefs. That's the team you have to get over on. I don't really think that the Buffalo Bills should settle. I think the Buffalo Bills need to get a difference maker on the offensive side of the ball, somebody who can, day one, be a replacement for Steph Diggs. What if the Bills get into the top 10? What if they get to, let's say, 8 and jump the Bears and trade with Atlanta and give up next year's first round for Roma Dunze? Are you in on that, Matt?
I am in on that. I think that if you can make it happen, go make it happen. I was on a podcast today with Joe Biscaglia from The Athletic and ESPN's Alina Getzenberg, and we were it was on Joe's podcast, and this actually came up. And you know, the trade up into to the top 10, it's complicated, but it's also like low key kind of doable. And you know, that first round draft pick the Bills have next year, I think that it's more than ever before tradable because of that Minnesota second round draft pick. And you never want to go into a draft without a first round pick, but if you're going to have to do it, if you get a Dunze and you have an early second round pick that you can maybe be aggressive for if you like somebody to get back into the first round next year, it's almost like you worry about that a little bit later. And you know, there was actually Joe kind of brought up a trade scenario where the Bills give up that pick next year, 28 and 60 this year, and then they go down to 75 and then add another one in the top 90. The trade chart just worked out that way. So there's a lot of interesting ways to do this. Now, how do the Bears view the Bills' first round pick next year? Do they view it as, you know, like if you were taking the temperature of the national media, a lot of people think the Bills are going to take a step back. If that's the feeling within the NFL, then if you're Brandon Bean, you can almost sell that draft pick a little bit better than you would in most years, because maybe that ends up being 17, 18, 19 in the draft, or maybe even earlier if the Bills somehow miss the playoffs. I don't think they're going to, but if that's the feeling. But again, Brandon Bean also said, he kind of couched all of this the other day, last week, when he said, I've been in Carolina before when we've traded a future first, and the worst thing ever is when a guy doesn't hit that you traded that future first for, and then the year comes past and you have to sit there at the draft and watch somebody that you could have really used get drafted with the pick that you would have had.
Yeah, it's one thing where you hit the known commodity in Steph Diggs. And well, I guess I asked the question because there's all sorts of rumors, Matt, and I don't think this could happen, but what percent chance do you think Ayuk A gets traded, and B, would Buffalo be in on a Brandon Ayuk?
I don't know. I like the Adunze move a lot more than I like the Ayuk move, and that doesn't have anything to do with being down on Brandon Ayuk. I think he's an elite player. I just think on the other end of that, to have to pay that price tag, knowing the kind of astronomical numbers that Josh Allen's contract is going to reach over the next couple of years, I almost feel like you're resetting the salary cap with what you've done this offseason. And I feel like it muddies the water a little bit if you're going to add another player that has that kind of potential earning power, you know, when you're going to be paying upwards of $30 million a year for a wide receiver. And Ayuk's great. Ayuk's a bona fide number one. Like, I think that what he's done with a lack of elite quarterback there in San Francisco has been sensational. And what that would look like with him in the Bills offense, it sounds great in theory. But I also think, you know, this is a general manager and a scouting staff that has a lot of cachet around the NFL. And, you know, when you talk to other scouts, when you talk to media people, people speak glowingly about Brandon and this entire group that he's put together. You know, they've hit at a lot of different levels in the draft. You know, most recently, I feel like they've had a couple of really strong drafts. So now it's like the one position that they haven't really had to test themselves on is wide receiver. And when you can get a cost controlled player, I think you got to trust your scouting process and go find the guy that you really want to have. And if you're willing to give up those assets for Ayuk, you should be willing to give them up for a younger player that's coming back to you on a rookie contract with a fifth-year option where you get 5 years of bona fide Josh Allen prime and a wide receiver one on a rookie contract. To me, that's a much more alluring.
Yeah, Matt, give us a little bit more on your mock draft that's releasing tomorrow, because I'm curious of how this first round is going to lay out for the Buffalo Bills if they do remain at 28. How many quarterbacks do you have going? How many wide receivers do you have going before the Bills are selecting at 28? Is this one of those years where, just a different year where you see the majority of these players coming from the offensive side of the ball rather than the defensive side of the ball? What's your scouting pre-draft look like here leading up to your mock draft?
So I talked to somebody yesterday after Peter Schrager put out a tweet where he said it's obviously a heavy offensive draft where, you know, there's like six guys that could go in the first 15 and there's another six guys that could sneak into the back end of the first round but could be out of the first round completely. And so it's obviously an offensive dominated draft. And so in the first round. And so I reached out to somebody in the league and they said, that's right on the money. He's like, I think those bottom six guys, I think Chop Robinson was one of them. Cooper DeJean was one of them. The scout still thinks they're going to sneak back into the first round. But if that's the case, it's going to be offensive heavy. If you're the Bills, you need those six quarterbacks to go. And that's one thing that Schrager said on Pat McAfee today is that what he's hearing is the six quarterbacks are going to go in the top 15. And we're talking about some of the betting lines, and like you can last week, McAfee said that Penix was minus 130 to go in the top 15 of the draft. This week, 6 days later, he's now at minus 230. So there's obviously some action there where I just think teams are going to be positioning themselves to get the cost controlled quarterback, because even at 15, if you get Penix and maybe you're not in love with him or Bo Nix, it's probably better than having to go the retread route next year and go with the Gardner Minshews of the world or the Jimmy Garoppolos or, you know, insert name. So I have six quarterbacks going in the top 15, which pushes some of those wide receivers down a little bit. And then I have the Bills kind of surveying things and picking their spot and getting up and getting one. And I think that to what Gino said a little bit earlier, I do think that there's a little bit of pressure, if it makes sense, for them to come out of this draft with a difference maker or the potential of a difference maker next season. I'm higher than on Dalton Kincaid than I feel like most people are. Like, I think we're in such a, you know, what have you done for me lately kind of world. And I think people forget what the book on him was when they drafted him last year. Like, this was supposed to be like the future number one weapon in this offense. And I know it may be coming a little bit sooner than anybody anticipated, but what this offense could potentially look like with Dalton Kincaid leading the team in targets, I'd be interested to see what that looks like and how much of a jump he takes from year one to year two in a league where tight ends typically take a huge jump from year one to year two. And he was pretty good as a rookie. So that's why, like, if this doesn't happen, the scenario that I'm going to lay out tomorrow, and they end up having to trade back or sit and pick, and they take one of these, you know, fun defensive players, whether it be Averse, Robinson, DeJean, maybe even like Johnny Newton, or if a Byron Murphy falls, I don't think that's going to happen. I think there's more action on him going in the top 10 than the bottom 10 of the first round. If you got to move back, if you got to stick and pick a 28 and take somebody that maybe you're not as excited about, I still think you're happy if you're Brandon Bean with Dalton Kincaid in this offense and getting him where you got him last year to maybe fill at least the majority of the void left by Diggs. And oh, by the way, how big of a void is it? Like, that's another thing we're not talking enough about. Like, the dude was invisible for 12 weeks at the end of last season. So much so that, like, when he did get big targets in big moments, like in the playoff game, it ended poorly. So I think that they need to reimagine this thing anyway, and I don't necessarily think we're looking at it the right way.
Matt Perino, Syracuse Post Standard. Matt, last one from me, and I feel like I got to just ask your thoughts on this, because you were bringing up the whole, my gosh, we could have six quarterbacks in the first round, maybe in the top 15. How is it that an industry that invested so much with scouts and analytics and blah, 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 that we really don't have any idea. We have no idea. Just look at last year. Here's Bryce Young, number one. Yeah, that doesn't look so good. C.J. Stroud should have been the obvious pick. Look at the Cardinals taking Rosen when you could have had Lamar Jackson, or teams passing on Josh Allen. Why is this profession so difficult, Matt, in your opinion?
Because it's like anything else. Like when you're talking about a projection, you're trying to take everything that you can learn about somebody and figure out how they're going to respond in a given situation. So all the things that go into being an NFL quarterback, from the fit with the play caller, the fit with the culture of the team, the fit in the city, the fit in the media market, the fit with the supporting cast and the players that you get to play with. That's just five basic fundamental things right there that if you don't hit on one of those things, or if one of those things is off, I feel like most guys are set up to fail from the very beginning. And I'm not sitting here saying that Zach Wilson would have been some great player had he landed somewhere else. It's not about that. It's like, I think things, it's like, as the situation goes along, I think different factors affect it too. So like, maybe there's a bad first year and maybe the confidence level is shot, and then, you know, never able to get back to a place where, you know, you feel you can be competitive. Or maybe you feel like there's not a belief in you, because this is a world, the NFL world, that it is like, if something doesn't happen in three or four games, it's almost like the panic button is getting hit everywhere and people are asking questions. People are having to answer questions within the building. There's so many different elements that can kind of flip things. And I think, like, I take Josh Allen's ascension or his landing spot and why he's hit the way that he has hit. He got to come in with very little expectation in an organization that has been an absolute laughingstock. And even though, like, he was kind of a laughingstock as a prospect, remember all the negative things people said about him? It's like, okay, I might be that, but I play for the Bills, so it is what it is. I mean, they haven't gone to the playoffs for 17 straight years, and it was almost like that led to this perfect marriage between player and, you know, play caller and everything else. Like, it all fit together perfectly. You know, Patrick Mahomes got one of the best coaches, offensive coaches of all time. And he got to sit behind Alex Smith for a season and see how it's done, and got to kind of bide his time and see how it was going to go. I don't know, man. It's really, really hard. It's why people get paid millions and millions and millions of dollars to do it. And if you can't, you're out pretty quickly.
Yeah, and I think to myself also, kind of based on what we heard from Brandon Bean last week, when we're talking about whoever it might be that they select, and specifically if it's a wide receiver, how much intellect will play into that as well. And that's another thing that we really don't know. None of us get the opportunity to sit down with these guys and pick their brain outside of the press conference here or there and know just how smart some of these players are, their ability to grasp a playbook or learn an offensive system. Do you think that is a weighing factor in who the Bills end up selecting if it's a wide receiver in round one?
Without a doubt. And that makes the hardest part about figuring all this out is, like, you know, the only thing we get to really go off of is, you know, if you went to the Senior Bowl and were around any guys that were there, if you were at the combine and got to talk to anybody, and a lot of that times that's in the, you know, the media space where guys are nervous anyway. I go back to, you know, who I absolutely loved 2 years ago at the combine. His interview was just really just tremendous. And he was so smart about the way that he answered questions, was able to field them and then give you back something that was so informed and kind of let you in on the whole process, was Trent McDuffie. Like, I thought he was an absolute home run of a pick just based on, like, that 20 minutes that I got to talk to him. And, like, you know, there was a couple wide receivers this year that I got a chance to talk. I thought Troy Franklin was probably the best of the bunch from an interview standpoint. And we know that the Bills have spent a ton of time with him. But again, that's very limited. Like, I haven't gotten on a whiteboard with him and seen what he can do with the playbook. And that's another part of this. Like, the Bills have a very complicated playbook. And if you bring in a guy like Mitchell or Thomas and you're asking them to be, you know, any type of version that Stephon Diggs was in this offense, where he got 4 years to kind of learn this thing and grow in this thing, that is a huge role to step into. And you got to be convinced, especially if you're going to give up assets to go get one of these guys, that they can handle it, that they're about that. From everything I've read on Thomas, he's going to be able to be that. And, you know, he in a different situation without having to play, you know, understudy to Malik Nabers would have shined even more. And the guy led the nation in touchdowns. So, man, this draft, I think this is going to be what my sixth draft covering the team. This will be the one, and I didn't cover the Allen draft. That was right before I started. Out of all of them, I think this has the widest range of outcomes that I think that can happen. And I think even Bean going into this, he probably has something down deep that he really wants, like a player that he really wants. But it almost feels after talking to him last week like he's preparing himself for any kind of outcome. And the one that could be the most likely, maybe trading out of the pick to add assets, you know he's not going to love going to bed on Thursday night if that ends up being the case.
See, a trade up also gives you an early deadline coming up Thursday night, man.
That's all right. I'd rather like get after. I got a little bit more energy at around 9 o'clock than I do at 11:30. So I'd appreciate that if they went way up. Let me get to work. I don't have to sit around and just gorge on whatever media food they put out.
Well,
you
can appreciate this, Matt. I mean, my routine, I'm not going to speak for Gina, but my routine on night one of the NFL draft is when we get done at Three Heads, we have a couple of pops while we're, you know, waiting for round one to get started. We hang out with some of our regulars here in the sports bar. And then I drive to Steve T's there and I get myself a plate so I can eat my feelings while I'm waiting for the Bills to make their selection late in the first round. You do the same type of thing, right?
I mean, yeah, if just replace plate with delicious chicken wings and that's what I'll do.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. Matt, tell us the schedule for the Shop Podcast. What is coming up in a busy week here?
Oh my gosh, we have so many mocks. So Ryan's dropped on Sunday. Mine will come out tomorrow. We have a podcast for Monday night. I caught up with Antoine Staley from the New York Daily News to take a spin around the AFC East. We did a cool kind of concept where we kind of looked like, what do teams in the AFC East not want other teams to do in the draft? And that was our podcast. That's up now, which was a pretty fun exercise. And then tomorrow, Carl Jones from Rochester, he's jumping on the pod. And then Justin Mello from the Draft Network, he's absolutely crushed it. Draft time and reporting all these visits and everything like that. Those two gentlemen are going to join us for a first round live mock draft in real time, no trades. But we'll talk about trades. That'll be about an hour extravaganza tomorrow, 4 o'clock, and then it's off to the races.
All great stuff, Matt. Appreciate the time as always. Let's talk again next week.
All right, buddy. Take care.
You got it, Matt. There's Matt Perino covering the Buffalo Bills for the Syracuse Post-Standard, the Shout podcast as well. He joins us every Tuesday afternoon at this time to talk Buffalo Bills in the sports.
That would be the shocking move, trading up to get Odunze.
That's what they need to do. Now I've convinced myself.
Need to do
if you're trying to beat Kansas City, if you're trying to be the best team in the AFC,
then get to Mahomes when it matters.
Okay, well, the pass rusher is not if you're going to trade up in the top 10 to get the pass rusher you want.
What I'm saying is that, yes, the Bills are thin at wide receiver. We can all nod our heads and say, yep. And they're also pretty darn thin at the end position at rusher. I'm not counting on Von Miller. You shouldn't count on Von Miller either.
This is a fun time of year. By fun, I mean extremely busy for sports agents. And we have the opportunity to talk to one next in the sports bar.
Lee Steinberg, who one of the greatest, should be in the Hall of Fame. Like, he's just, like, he meant that much. We will get his thoughts on what this is like this week. This changing landscape, too, when it comes to betting and everything else. So really curious to get the thoughts of one of the best, Lee Steinberg.
And we'll have Seth Appert on also in the 4 o'clock hour, Rochester Americans head coach. He's stopping by at 425. You can pull up a stool at 585-866-4FAN, 866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.